we know the Medrash says that wherever the Megillah says Hamelech Stam, and it doesn't explain that Hamelech HaKashverosh, it's referring also to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And this creates for us a potential for a number of useful vetlach, but it also creates a number of serious problems. Which means you sit down and you read to the Megillah, and sometimes you see it says Hamelech, it doesn't say HaKashverosh, and immediately the chat comes to mind and it's beautiful. And sometimes it creates very, very difficult problems. So I'd like to focus on one problem, one question that's raised, looking at a couple of psukim in the Megillah, where the pasuk says Hamelech Stam, and it doesn't say Hamelech HaKashverosh. And that is as follows. In Perek Gimel, when Haman speaks to Achashverosh and convinces Achashverosh to destroy Klal Yisrael, Pasuk says, "Vayosa Hamelech es tabat me'al yadai, vayitzno l'Haman ben Hamdasa ha'dagi tzera ha'yehudi." The Melech takes his tabat, takes his ring off his finger, gives it to Haman, right, and with that ring is sealed the Gezeira. Right, Hamelech Stam. When you get to the significance of this is clear when you get to the end of the Megillah in Perek Ches, where we're told V'atem kisru al ha'yehudim. Once Achashverosh has been convinced that he has to go back on his edict and allow the Jews to be saved, so what did he do? He's got a problem. And the problem is like this: Kisav Hashem nichtov b'shem Hamelech v'nachtoim b'tabat Hamelech ein lahoshiv. Any edict that has been sent out, written in the name of the king, and signed with the king's ring, cannot be revoked. Sealed with the king's ring, cannot be revoked. Problem. Right, this creates a technical problem for Mordechai, for the Yidden at the time, such that there is no way of revoking that decree, and the only thing they can do is send out letters allowing them to defend themselves. But it creates a much, much bigger problem in Shemaya, and based in Shemala. A much, much bigger problem. Mm-hmm. What we're being told is that the Gezeira that was brought on Klal Yisrael, the Gezeira that Haman managed to bring upon Klal Yisrael with his Lashon Hara, with his Lishna Bisha, with his Yeshna Yanefa, with Mefuzah Mefarah Ben Ha'amin, with all the times that Haman made to Achashverosh, and by implication also to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, explaining why Klal Yisrael now deserved this Gezeira of Misa, that Gezeira was signed and sealed with the king's ring. And the king's ring means the ring of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And that anything that is signed and sealed with that ring, the Nachtim v'Tabat HaMelech, Ein Lahoshiv, there is no way to revoke that Gezeira. So hence the question, how did the Teshuvah work? What was the way out? What was the solution? How do we get out of this mess that we found ourselves in when the Gezeira has been signed and sealed by Beis and Shalmala? That's the question. There is a medrash, a fairly well-known medrash, that speaks about what happened at the time this Gezeira was passed in Shemayim. So, says the Medrash, the Torah came with big day almonas, the Torah came in sackcloth and cried before Hashem and said, "What's going to be with me?" The Malachi Asharis, Malachim came before HaKadosh Baruch Hu and said, "If you're going to destroy Klal Yisrael, then why are we here? We have no purpose. The Torah has no purpose. The Malachim have no purpose. Everybody's crying." Kimash Hashem Lecham Olavano, the sun and the moon, the stars, the whole Bria now has no purpose and is crying with Bechi before HaKadosh Baruch Hu, "If you're going to destroy Klal Yisrael, why are we here?" So, who came along? Eliyahu HaNavi. Ba'isa Shah rots Eliyahu Zachar Atoiv, the Behola, Eitzel Avos Ha'olam. Eliyahu HaNavi runs quickly to the Avos Ha'olam. The Eitzel Moshe Ben Amram. He goes to the Avos, Avram Yitzchak and Yach, and he goes to Moshe Rabbeinu. How are you sitting here sleeping, the Avos Ha'olam, when your children are shurim b'tzara, when there's this Gezeira passed on Klal Yisrael for destruction? How can you sit here resting? Amulan. So they said to him, Mipnei Ma, what are you talking about? Amulahem, Mipnation, Mipnation, Nani Yisrael Mitzidokish Lachash Deirosh, Ubabu Zoyt Nigzer Alehem Gezer Lachaloysim and Hoylam Al-Abed Ezzichra. Right, the Gezei was passed because they were Nerev from the Suda Achashverosh. They went to the Suda that Achashverosh made, which we know he served wine. He used the kalim from the base of Mikdash. We know that for Achashverosh, this Suda was a celebration of the destruction of the base of Mikdash, of the end of Klal Yisrael, of the end of Klal Yisrael's reign in Eretz Yisrael. That was their Aveira. Amulai Avraham Yitzchak Yaakov. So Avraham Yitzchak and Yaakov say, Imheim Avru Al Das Hakadosh Baruch Hu. If they've transgressed, the Nechtamar Gezeirasam, and the Gezeir has been sealed, Ma on Yechim Lassos. What can we do? They've done an Aveira, the Gezeir has been sealed, what do you expect us to do? What do you mean we're sleeping? It's not that we're sleeping, we're awake, we're aware, but what can we do? They sinned, they did an Aveira, and the Gezeir has been passed. Chazor Eliyahu, V'amalei L'Moshe. So Eliyahu then goes to Moshe Rabbeinu. And he says to Moshe, E Raya Ne'eman, if you are a Raya Ne'eman, a faithful shepherd, come upon him and matala peret to Israel. How many times have you stood out to Klal Yisrael and saved them where there was a gezeirah of destruction upon them? So says Moshe Rabbeinu, Amalei Moshe. Says Moshe Rabbeinu, the gezeirah that was signed, Im betit hi chasumo, if it's signed in clay, tfilosein nishma, our tfilis will be heard. The im bedam nechtamo, if it's signed in blood, mashahoya hu, there's nothing that can be done. That's what Moshe Rabbeinu said. The gezeirah has been signed and sealed. But what was it signed with? Was it signed with clay, or was it signed with blood? Said Eliyahu Hanavi, betit hi chasumo, it's signed with clay. If so, says Moshe Rabbeinu, tfilosein nishma. And then the Medrash goes on to explain that Moshe Rabbeinu said Al Davin, and you tell the Tzaddik Shavuot and Hadar, Mordechai a Tzaddik to Davin, and the Teshuvah will be heard. Here's another Medrash that illustrates how powerful this Gezeirah was. What does the Medrash mean? If it's signed in clay, it can be revoked. If it's signed in blood, it can't. So here the Maharal explains. If it's signed in clay, This clay represents the chomer, the material of the physical material of the guf of the human body. Clay is the earth from which the body is formed. When Hashem created Adam and Rishon, right, Vayitzeh Hashem Elokim et Adam from the afar, Hashem formed his body from the afar, and then he blew a neshama into him. If the gezeirah is signed with clay, that clay represents the guf, the body. If it's signed with blood, hadam ha-nefesh. Then it's signed with the soul. Then it's signed with the neshama itself. So what does that mean? What else does it mean like this? Why was the gezeirah signed? What was the aveirah? Did the aveirah come about because we're sunken in the tivus of our bodies? Right? Because we're human beings with physical drive, and therefore we sin, therefore we went to the Suda of Achashverosh? Or did it come about because there's something higher, something in the Seichel, something in the Neshama, that itself is corrupt? If there's something in the Neshama that's corrupt, if Klal Yisrael were involved with Avodah Zarah, if the Seichel, if the mind was involved and wanted to be at this Suda of Achashverosh, then there's no going back. But if it's just the clay, if it's just the dust of the earth from which the body is formed, then there's a Teshuvah from that. If the Aveiros are only because of the physical drive, only because we're physical human beings, then there's a way out. Then there's a way forward, there's a way to do Teshuvah. That's what the Medrash means. So Eliyahu Hanavi says, the Gezeirah is signed with clay. The Aveiros that caused this Gezeirah, what? Only because Klal Yisrael are physical human beings, and think how difficult it was for them as well, being exiled from Eretz Yisrael. Now they're in Golos, they're in Shushan. Think how difficult it is now, and how suddenly the inspiration that they had, the vacancy they had of being in Eretz Yisrael is lost. So of course they fall into the trap, they fall prey to the drags of their guf. So for that there's teshuvah, for that there's a way. But once the soul, once the neshama, once the seichel become corrupt, once the seichel willingly participates in this Suda of Achashverosh, understanding that the Suda that Achashverosh meant was the celebration of the end of Klal Yisrael, the celebration of the destruction of the Beit HaMikdash. From that there's no teshuvah. You can't be involved with celebrating, along with Ahasuerus, the destruction of the Beit HaMikdash and the beginning of the reign of Ahasuerus and Paras HaMadai, and expect that there's a teshuvah back from that. Expect that Akash Baruch is going to take you back. But if it's because of the guf, if it's because of the physical drive, there's teshuvah, there's a way back. So, what was the teshuvah? What's the way back from this gezeirah? When the gezeirah has been passed and the gezeirah cannot be revoked, what is the way back? The answer is, of course, that if the gezeirah has been passed because of certain aveiros that we've done, yes, you can't tear up the gezeirah, but what you can do is you can uproot it. In other words, if you take away the cause for that gezeirah, then the gezeirah will automatically fall away. So let me explain. There's something very strange about the whole gezeirah. Haman buys an entire nation for the right to shechta, for the right to slaughter them. Right? You just can't do that. You can't buy a human being for the right to shechta. You can buy a slave for life. You can do that. Such a machira works. Right? But there's no mechanism, there's no technical mechanism for buying a human being's life. It doesn't work. Yeah, Haman does it. He buys them from Ahasuerus and he buys them from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. How does he do that? How does that work? And the answer is that, clearly, that to buy somebody for Shechita, the only thing that you can buy for Shechita is behemoth. The only thing that you can buy for Shechita is a behemoth. Right? And so the message is that if Klal Yisrael are behemoths, then they can be bought for Shechita. If you're an Adam, if you're a mensch, if you have a Tzura to Adam, you can't be bought for Shechita. So therefore, the whole Mechira only starts in as much as Klal Yisrael are behemoths. Guf. A guf without a neshama is a behemoth. If you're a guf without a neshama, you're a behemoth can be bought for Shechita. There's another incredible measure. Look at how the teshuvah happened. Mordechai went and gathered together all the people. Ba'yis Shah, this Galgul Rachel Shah HaKadosh Baruch Hu. When Mordechai gathered all of the people together, in Tanis, in Tefillah, in Limudat Torah, Ba'is Hashan is Galgul Rachma Shal HaKadosh Baruch Hu. HaKadosh Baruch Hu now had Rachamim, had Rachmonis on Klal Yisrael. The Amar Mikisei Din, he left the throne of Din, of judgment, the Yosha B'Kisei Rachamim, and moved over to the throne of Rachamim. The Amar, and he said, Ma Kol Godim Hazeh She'ani Shomea Kigudim Utloim. When Mordechai was sitting there learning in his Beit HaMedrash, learning in Torah and Tefillah in his Beit HaMedrash, Tzvokl hears this cry. He says, what is this cry? What's this noise that I can hear? Like Gedeon with Tzloim. Right? Like kids and lambs. Kids and lambs. What's this noise? Now, in comes Moshe Rabbeinu. Moshe Rabbeinu that promised Eliyahu HaNavi before that if Mordechai davened, Al Davin, and there's a chance for Teshuvah. Now comes Moshe Rabbeinu. Omer Moshe Rabbeinu l'tnei HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Moshe Rabbeinu stands before HaKadosh Baruch Hu and says, Ribbono shel Olam, lo gedim v'lo tzloim heim. They're not kids or lambs. They're not behemoths. Ela ktani amcha, they're yiddish or yingalach, shem shriim b'tanis, who are sitting in Tanis, fasting, hayoyim shloshi yomim, u'shloshi leilois, 3 days and 3 nights, ul demachar, and tomorrow, roitzer oyev l'sheichtam, gedim utzlayim. And tomorrow, the oyev, the tzar, Ahasuerus, Shaman, wants to shecht them like gedim utzlayim, like animals, like behemoths, like kids and lambs. At that moment, not like a disparkle, oyev, the igor, shagogar, leim, shayachasumis, the chayim, shaltis, then a disparkle says, take those gezeris, those documents that have been signed with the gezeira, signed in clay, and rip them up and throw them at Ahasuerus. Here's the teshuva. The teshuva hinges on this point. Moshe Rabbeinu stands before HaKadosh Baruch Hu and says, they're not behemoths. if Achashverosh and Haman want to shift them, it's because they claim that they are behemoths. But they're not behemoths. Listen to them. The sound, the noise that you hear, they're not behemoths. They're Yiddish children who are davening, who understand that when a Torah comes, you daven and you learn Torah. But they daven and learn Torah, the whole Gezerah of Achashverosh and Haman that wants to shech them like animals, like their Gedim with Lion, the whole thing is bottom of the. Why? Because the sale only has Torah. The sale only makes sense. Only makes sense in as much as you're buying animals for Shechita. If they're not Shechita, if they're not animals, you can't buy them for Shechita. You can't buy the right to their lives. The focus of the Teshuvah of Purim, the focus of the Teshuvah of Tanis Esther, the focus of the Avodah of Purim is to realize that the Teshuvah came about by understanding the difference between the Guf and the Neshama. The difference between a behemoth and a mensch. The difference between a behemoth and a mensch. And the whole question is, where is the mensch? Where is the person? Where is the I consciousness? Right? Everybody thinks about themselves or refers to themselves in the first person. When you say I, where is that I? Is that I buried in the body? Or is that I in the neshama? Where is that I? You know, beginning of Parashat Korach, Vayikach Korach. So it says Rashi, Vayikach Korach, how did he take them? It says Rashi, how did he take them? How did Korach take people? How did he take a person? So the Rashi, Lokom B'dvorim. He convinced them. He spoke to them. That's how you take a person. Right? In other words, to take a person, to take the mensch, doesn't mean to pick him up and put him down. It means to convince him. To speak to his seichel, to speak to his intellect. There's a very similar pasuk, and with a very similar Rashi, in Parashas Bereishis. And that's the following. Vayikach Hashem Elokim et ha'Adam, v'yanichir v'gan Eden. Hashem took Adam and placed him in Gan Eden. So it says Rashi, Vayikach Hashem Elokim et ha'Adam, Hashem took Adam and placed him in Gan Eden. Says Rashi, what did he do? Lokum b'dvorim, moshcheu l'konis v'gan Eden. He spoke to him, he convinced him, he explained, Hashem explained to Adam and Rishon, we're going to Gan Eden. The place for you is Gan Eden. It says the Maharal. Why does Rashi have to explain like this? Why can't Rashi explain? Vayikach Hashem Elokim et ha'Adam. Hashem took Adam and put him in Gan Eden. He picked him up and he put him down. He picked him up from wherever he was and he placed him in Gan Eden. Why? What's wrong with that? Of course, by Korach, you can't say that's Shad. You can't say that Korach picked up the 250 men and placed them somewhere else. Of course, Vayikach Korach has to mean Moshcheu B'Devarim. Of course. But Vayikach Hashem Elokim et ha'Adam, when Hashem took Adam Rishon and put him in Gan Eden, why can't Rashi explain? Poshut, picked him up, put him in Gan Eden. Says the Maral, because Vayikach et ha'Adam, to take the man, does not mean to pick him up and put him down. When you pick him up and put him down, you've moved his body. You haven't taken the man. You haven't taken the mensch. To take the mensch, Vayikach et ha'Adam, to take the mensch, means to appeal to his intellect, to his seichel, to his consciousness, and move that, to change that. And when you move that from outside of Gan Eden into an experience and a realm that's called Gan Eden, that's called taking the mesh. That's called taking the mesh. There's a very, very similar, along the same lines as Rashi, is the way is the Zohar on this topic. The Zohar asked the question, Vayikach Hashem Elokim et ha'Adam, Hashem took Adam and placed him in Gan Eden, says the Zohar, Me'ein not alei. Where did he take him from? Now, where did he take him from? What do you mean took him? From where? So says the Zohar, Notal mi abi yesodin dilei. He took him, he removed him, he elevated him above his four yesodos. Above the four yesodos of his physical body. And the physical body being made of fire, earth, air, water, or call it liquid, gas, solid, and energy if you prefer. And call it what you want, but the physical world, you raise him above that, and that's called Vayikach Hashem Elokim et ha'Adam. That's where he took him from. He took him from a world that's entirely physical, from a body that's entirely physical, raised him above it and placed him in Gan Eden. And that's what it means to be in Gan Eden. And the Zohar says so that it's the same thing with any human being. When he does teshuva and his oisik b'teira, he also, when any person does teshuva and his oisik b'teira, he is also raised above his physical body, his guf, and is placed in an experience called Gan Eden. Exactly the same process. And so what's happening here is that the teshuva of Klal Yisrael, the teshuva of Klal Yisrael at Purim, was a gezeira that could not be revoked. The gezeira was that Klal Yisrael were sold for shechita. The gezeira was written and signed, sealed with the king's ring. Such a gezeira cannot be revoked. What's the answer? Change yourself, change your entire being in such a way that the gezeira can no longer apply to you. Because the gezeira only works, it's only shayach to a mechira on behemoth. It's only shayach a mechira on a guf. Right? And as long as you're a guf without a neshama, the mechira works. When you become a neshama, when you become a mensch, vayikach Hashem l'nekim es ha'odom, right? When you appeal to the I consciousness, that the self and the mensch now becomes a neshama, and not just a guf, then there's no such thing as a mechira. You can't sell a human being for shechita. Interesting as well that the mitzvah of Purim, all of the mitzvahs of Purim, all four of them, also have the four mitzvahs of Purim: Mikra Megillah, Mishlach Manos, Matanos Avyonim, and Megillah Esther. Four mitzvahs of Purim. Each one fits along these lines. I'll explain that in a minute. But in particular, the mitzvah of Mishtah Usimcha on Purim, the mitzvah of Chayiv Imish Levasule Adela Yada, right, to get drunk on Purim, to become so intoxicated with food and with drink, with Mishtah Usimcha Adela Yada, until you don't know the difference between Aruch Haman and Baruch Mordechai, the Maral says that what you're actually doing is you're trying to create, you're trying to make a bittul of your guf. You're trying to be a mevatel of your guf. What happens normally when you drink? What can happen when someone drinks? The first thing that happens is that you lose control of your body. Like, you lose control of your body. The connection between your consciousness and your body is weakened, is lessened, so that the body can now sort of sometimes find itself doing its own thing. This is the good stage one. But what actually happens if you go far enough is that I consciousness, the I which is yourself, the I which is the way you perceive yourself, when you say I, when you refer to yourself in first person, that consciousness leaves the body and goes where? Well, that depends on you. That depends on your avodah of the day. That depends on what you're doing and where your mind is. But if your mind is in Torah, if it's really a suddah, if it's really a suddah that's a suddah of the mitzvah of Purim, that's a suddah that's l'shem the mitzvah of the Avodas Hayoyim, then when the guf becomes bottle and the consciousness is allowed to rise and become separated from the guf, where that consciousness goes, in other words, where you yourself go, is somewhere that's way, way beyond the realm of the guf. So the avodah of the yoyim is to be mevatel the guf, right? That's why you stuff it with food and with drink, right? It's not like bas of the yayin of Simchas Yomtov. What's bas of the yayin of Simchas Yomtov? You ma'alig the guf, right? You ma'alig the guf. You show on Shabbat and Yomtov the way we can achieve ruchnius through the guf, right? The way with gashmius you can achieve ruchnius. And that's oynig, that's the time of the oynig of Shabbat and the Simchas of Yom Tov. On Purim the avodah is different. On Purim the avodah is that by stuffing the guf, stuffing the body with food and with drink, the body becomes bottle and the consciousness rises to a higher place. That's Purim is one of the things that's behind the mitzvah of drinking. It's interesting, just agav, that in each of these mitzvahs, what we're trying to create is at the same time at the same time a unity, with Guf and Neshama. Really, ultimately, we want a unity between body and soul. Right, so that after Purim, the Guf and Neshama work together, right, work together so that the Guf is decreased to express the Neshama. Okay. And so each of the mitzvahs of Purim, looking through them, all follow the same theme of trying to get to the neshama that's behind the guf. The mitzvah of Mishlaat Monos. What's Mishlaat Monos about? Tov Haman said, Yesh me am mefuzah mefoyah ben ha'amin, that we're spread out. We have to go to the point at which there's an axis of Klal Yisrael. At which point is there an axis of Klal Yisrael? In the neshama. In the neshama, there's an axis of Klal Yisrael. So, the message is that the teshuvah of Purim, the teshuvah of Tanit Esther, the avoid of Purim, is to understand that a mensch, the Tzuras HaAdon, is much, much more than a guf. To allow the consciousness to go to a place that's beyond the guf, to allow the consciousness to achieve a devekus through the bittul of the guf that comes about through Mishnah V'Simcha. And the Sfarim say, it's quoted by Shem of Baal Shem Tov, but other Sfarim say it as well, that you are where your thoughts are. Right? It's as simple as that. If you want to know where the mensch is, if you want to know where you are where your thoughts are. If your thoughts are with your guf, you're a guf. If your thoughts are with your neshama, you're a neshama. You have to make it. Right? And that's the message. The bittul of the guf on Purim is not because the ongoing avodas Hashem is a bittul of the guf. The ongoing avodas Hashem is to use guf and neshama together so that the guf expresses the light of the neshama. But the avodah of Purim is to allow the eye consciousness, the self, to rise above the guf, so that when it's so much with the neshama, when it's with a devekus, a special type of devekus that, strangely enough, can only be brought out on Purim. A very strange type of devekus that can only be brought out on Purim. When we achieve that devekus, that the self is with the neshama, then we can achieve what Adam Rishon achieved, like the Zohar says, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu raised Adam Rishon above his Abi Yesodic and placed him in Gan Eden. And through our prayer and through our tefillah, may we also be Zohar to sit in Gan Eden.